Okay. Let's start off with Romans chapter 5. This is our, I believe it's our fifth lesson in
six
of What is Grace? And we've been progressing. We're going to pick up at verse, or chapter 5, verse 12. That's our starting verse, so we'll start off there. And then hopefully we're coming up on our specifics for our grace. Romans 5:12. Let's 5:2. Let's start off there and get into our lesson. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege and opportunity we have to meet again as we study your word, as we look into some foundational truths of what it is to be saved by grace, what it is to have access into this grace today. We just thank you for recording these things, for our learning, for our edification. Lord, that might equip us to be better ambassadors, to be informed of how we fit into your purpose and plan. As we go forward, we just pray the Holy Spirit would open our understanding and that he might strengthen us in the inner man as we read these things. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we start off at that 5:2 as we come across, because I use that because we want to talk about, and we're almost there, of what it means that we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And last week we looked at a little more things about Jesus Christ and how he received grace. And I know it's kind of hard for some people to grasp that. And you say, you mean Jesus Christ received grace? And we looked at those things as he was even a child, that the scripture said that he grew in stature, in wisdom. And as a boy, he increased in, matter of fact, let's just look at those verses. Luke 2, I don't want to misquote it. Luke chapter 2, and in verse 51, and they understood when Jesus was in the temple, and you know what, let's go back to 39. And when they had performed all things, this is Joseph and Mary, according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee, into their own city, Nazareth, and the child, that's Jesus, grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. And in verse 50 through 52, and they understood not the saying, this is when he was in the temple, and he said, I must be about my Father's business. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And if you automatically, that would throw you off if you know that Jesus is the God-man. And we know that he's, that holy thing that Mary had was the Holy Ghost in her. And we know that God, in John chapter 1, he says that the fullness was in Christ. But yet we see him as a child, as a boy, and even as a man, as he's growing in grace and in wisdom and in knowledge and stature. And you are, how is that? And so you see that this is a purpose that God has in him. It's a purpose that God has in him as he's increasing. What he's showing us is that, I think this, oh, no, no. I was wondering if this was the wrong bag. It's the right bag. That's you know, that last week the other one was dried out, so I threw that out. So, but we look at that, and he's, when Jesus comes, he's coming. And I'll say this: he's coming in grace and truth. John said this: the law was by Moses, right? That's in John chapter 1. The law was by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Hebrews says the law was a what? Shadow of good things to come. The law was a schoolmaster to bring us what? For the unto Christ. So you think about those things, is what God's purpose, for him to fulfill his purpose, which is to resume or regain his title and position as the Most High God.
Possessor.
The what?
Possessor.
The possessor of heaven and earth. So we talk about this all the time. The big picture is that God is repossessing these things back to himself. Now, grace is this. When we talk about grace, is because of God's own counsel, because of the good pleasure of his will, he's working out. He has a plan that he has already devised, I would say devised, in eternity past. That's his plan, to repossess the heaven and earth. He already has it. The grace of God is this: he allows and decides to use man in that plan for his own wisdom. Because of his own wisdom, because of he was working all these things out after the counsel of his own will. And that's why when you go through that list and you see those men, none of those men deserved any of that. To be picked out of whatever state they were in, given an opportunity to work with God, to come into God's council room and get information that they can work with him. For no reason. Now, the only thing that they didn't know is this, is
his express will at that time.
They didn't know his complete will
at that time.
At that time, right. They only had little bits of it.
Right. They could cooperate and believe in what he revealed to them at that time, which was part of, not the complete, but part of the plan.
They could cooperate in the capacity that God had revealed to them. So, I mean, for example, you don't, when Noah builds an ark, he has no idea that even what he's doing is a type of Christ. He doesn't know that. And matter of fact, God says, do it according to my specifications. And he just operates by faith. He operates in that. Now, did he know? I think Bob, in one of his papers, did he know he was an heir? No. He just doing what God says. I believe God. I build the boat as he commanded. That's it. Moses, they have insight into their purpose at that time. Now, I'll say this: the only thing they didn't have. Say this first. God chooses those men because of his own good pleasure to work with him. He educates them. Not full, but he educates them. He equips them to carry out his will. He empowers them to do it. Now, the only part they lacked in was they weren't short on God's part, because he gave them the information, tells them what he wants done, and he says, you respond in faith. He didn't make them robots. The part they lacked in was, right, the obedience. Because for God, and without faith, it's impossible to please him. In their cases, it was always this. Faith said what? Do this. Do it and maintain it. When I say maintain it, is keep going. Like, it couldn't be like we work 6 days and 5 days a week, take two off, or three, or vacation. God says, we don't take vacations on obedience, because they always had something to do. That's why in the Old Testament, you found out that the fire
never went out.
It never went out.
And no chairs.
And no chairs. But all these things is foreshadow. It's leading you up to something. It's leading you up to Christ.
Progressive revelation.
Right. So when Christ comes, he says, if you ever read the book of John, it's loaded with Christ's obedience and dependence on exactly what the Father says. When he goes there, he says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. He's like, my doctrine is not my own. So whatever he says, I do nothing without hearing from my Father first. Do you believe that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you believe Christ did nothing without hearing from his Father first?
Absolutely.
Now, him being the second Adam, the first Adam, did he do anything without his Father's advice?
Sure.
Did he? What did he do?
He sinned.
Right. He sinned. Which all he did was what?
Disobeyed.
He disobeyed what?
The word of the Father.
He disobeyed. Right. Right. He disobeyed the commandment, the plan. One thing. He only did one thing. Hey, come on. Come on, God. It's like just that one. That's what he says. By one man's disobedience, many what?
God.
Many
are dead.
Right, are dead, but many
guilty,
right? But many became sinners. So there's none that doeth good. There's none righteous. He said they're all unprofitable. Because of what? Because of that one man. Now, he had access to his grace. And it just so happens when he said God created him in his image. Then when Adam sinned, he begot a son in his own image. Well, that's the whole posterity. That's everybody else after that. And when Christ comes, he says, I'm coming. He's the what? He's the image. And this man is, he's coming to be what?
Obedient.
Let's see. He's coming to be completely
completely. He's coming to restore the image.
Coming. So. Right. He's coming to. He's coming to. To get back.
What he had in the beginning.
What did he have in the beginning?
Relationship with the Father.
He had a relationship. Right. With the Father. A relationship. What kind of relationship?
Well, he was working alongside and for the plan that he had for the foundation of the world.
I like that.
It was a living, righteous relationship. That's what he laid down so that he might take up again.
Okay. He had a living, righteous relationship. He had a dependent. He paid the dependent, dedicated relationship. That's why when he went through, he says, I do nothing without hearing from my Father. Man shall not, when he's tempted as a son,
man shall not into
the, when he goes to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and the devil's given him all these, he's given him these temptations. The temptations were this, is, when it boils down to it, he said, I want you to act on your own.
Don't listen to the Father.
Even though he quotes the Father. He said, look, your Father said this. If you jump off this temple, he won't allow you to be hurt. I'm paraphrasing that.
It was before the time.
Did he know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Christ knew that.
Yeah, even the devil knew that.
Yeah.
Was it true?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's like, I don't have to do that to prove that my Father is faithful.
That wasn't part of the plan to throw yourself off of
it. It was wrongly divided, too.
Let me say that. I'm saying it another way. He did not have to prove, he did not have to jump to prove that his Father meant what he said. So it's like,
is that when he said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord?
Right.
God?
He said, it is written.
All four times.
It is. And then he says, okay, where are we at? Matthew.
Chapter 4.
Verse 1. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. He said, if you be what?
Son of the devil.
If you have that relationship that you say you do, if you have that dedication that you say you do, if you have that dependency that you say you do, if you're a recipient of that grace that you say you have, He said this, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then, well, who wrote that, by the way?
Holy Spirit.
He did, right? Well, right. That's in the law. Well, we know that, right?
It's in the law.
Thank you.
That's what's so funny.
God wrote it.
Since Satan knows the Bible just as well as he does, and he says, if thou, and then he went through all of that, well, then why wouldn't he ask him to command the stones be made of bread? Because he knows that that's totally indifferent to that sentence. He knows he wouldn't because of all of that.
Oh, well, that's the key. He does, that's what I'm saying. He doesn't have to prove that it's true. He doesn't have to do it to prove that.
No, I know that. I'm saying that, why would Satan ask that when he knows?
Like he should know the character of God.
Because, okay.
Right. I'm not asking. I was just saying it was stupid of him to ask that.
Well, here's the...
Jesus.
Try.
Yeah, why would
he? Because he.
Wasn't he proving?
He has to, right. He has to prove him.
He is the one.
He has to prove him just like the rest of them. You think about this. As these men, all those men were just types of the Lord. They were just types. They had flashes of the image.
So were you saying he might not have been sure that that was exactly him at the time?
Because that when
he had to prove it.
Yeah. He's, okay.
Yeah. He's
because other, you know, like said versions of
you, because you see different. I'm going to use this term right here. You see different. You see different sons show up.
Similitude.
But then you don't see the son show up, the capital S.
Right. So, in other words, is this guy just another type, or is this the real?
So, the only way. So, when Jesus comes, they say this. They says, they ask John, "Who are you? Are you the Christ?" We know. Even the woman at the well, she says, we know that when Christ comes, he will set everything right. And he says that he that you speak to, that's me. And if you knew who I was, you would ask me for a different kind of water that you would never have to come here again. And so, when Satan shows up,
I was thinking the same way she was in the area. It's like you kind of just you think that the devil knows a lot more than he does.
He so does, I mean, too.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, just because, you know, since angels don't know, you know, the full plan, and they're watching stuff just like, so I guess when he came in claiming to be Jesus, he wouldn't. Sure, he's like, I gotta test him.
Yeah, I mean, it's because even though these things are written, it still has to be validated. If it was just him showing up, then he wouldn't have to go through all this. But he's there for a reason. And Satan knows, okay, let's keep going in Matthew. He said this, then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written, again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these will I give thee, if thou will fall down and what?
Worship
me. It's kind of like he just gets right to the end of it. He's trying to, you know, he's questioning the dedication to the Father. He's questioning his provision, his protection. Then he finally just says, what I'm really after. He just gets right to it. He says, all this I'll give it to you. Could he?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure, he owned it.
He held him. How do you know he held him?
Because he hadn't lost it.
He lost it all. And he was legitimate in saying that I can give it to you. And he said, if you will what? Fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt
worship.
Worship who?
God alone and serve.
Worship
and serve.
And what?
Serve.
So, as the true Son and the true image, he says, my worship and service is only to who?
God.
To the Father. And he, all this, his whole life is dedicated to the purpose of God. So he says, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not. He says that, but a what?
A body.
But a body thou hast prepared me to do what? How much of his will?
All of it.
Hmm?
All of it. All of his will.
All of it. He said, that's the only reason I'm here. Is to do what?
Fulfill.
So you go through the Gospels and what he does. From the time he's born, even before that, to his death, all he's doing, his whole life, is fulfilling Scripture. I think Mike said that one of the lessons. All he's doing is, it's written. He did this, that it might be fulfilled. He did this, that the same might be fulfilled. All that, his whole life is the Father's checklist. And he's checking it off. And when he gets to the cross, he says, seeing that all things, look at John. John 28. I'm sorry, John 19. John 19, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now what?
Accomplished.
That the scripture might be fulfilled. He's being crucified and he's still checking off the Father's will. And when he sees it all is done, he says, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is...
He said, it's finished.
What's that? Ah, yes. It is finished. Everything. Now, all that's done. What did he accomplish?
Father's will.
Which was what?
The restoration of the image.
So we found out in Hebrews, when he does the Father's business, he said this, that by the grace of God, he was what he was by the grace of God. Paul said that, but he says, by the grace of God, the Son tasted death.
For every man.
For every man. That he might be the captain that the captain of the sufferings might be made perfect. So when he fulfills all the Father's will, and Philippians says, because he did that, God has highly exalted him, given him a name that's, and it's not just its authority, a position above all others. And when he resurrects and says, all power is in my hand, he meant that. And when he has destroyed, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, he has personally eliminated all obstacles that keep us from being like him.
Yeah, the law, sin.
Death. Yes, what? The law, right? What? Sin?
Death.
Death?
Satan.
The devil? Well, we know that's he has eliminated all obstacles. What the law could not do, and that it was weak through what? Sinful flesh. God sending his son
in the
likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us. He says, what do you mean? He says, by the grace of God, because God's purpose, when God created the law, why did he create the law?
To give us the knowledge of sin.
The law was added because of transgressions until the seed should come.
To do the promises.
And the promise was this, that through your seed many shall be made what? Be made righteous. So he says the law was added because of transgressions. By the law is the knowledge of sin. You can't do it. Can't do what?
Follow the law.
Be perfect.
You can't be perfect.
You can't
be righteous.
You can't worship and serve, because you can only worship and serve in righteousness and truth.
So it's in your way.
It's in your way. That's so good.
So he's, even if you want to do it, even if you want to, what Adam gave up was the ability for us to do that. Even if you wanted to.
It's genetic.
Right. So, and you think, now think about this. You can say, well, that ain't fair. God, that's just not fair. Because if I had the opportunity, I would do it.
You mess up a different way.
Right. Right. Think about it. That's what Israel said. When he came through, and he said, when they were coming through and murmuring and grumbling and complaining, and he's showing them grace all the way. Mm-hmm. They're going, as a matter of fact, they're going into the land to be what he wanted them to be, to repossess that land. And they're going through there, and they don't know when they come out. They don't know when they come out. God says, this is my inheritance. You're my inheritance. You're my army. You're my son. They're going out, and he was like, I'm thirsty. They're going out like, I'm hungry. I'm going out, and it's like, Dennis, I'm tired of this. We had this yesterday. Does that sound like some people that are totally dependent on the Father and his provision dedicated to him? No, they're just manifesting who they are. And yet they are recipients of his grace. They don't know to what extent it is. If they knew what they were going to do, two people knew what they were going to do. And you know what the scripture said about them?
They had a different spirit.
They had a different spirit.
So it was Joshua and Caleb.
Yeah. Joshua and Caleb.
When did the group being let out, like, what did the group, as far as, like, what was their, I guess, what faith, I wonder, did they have? I guess just to follow, and that was it?
And that's, they came out.
I think there at the time, it was like, we're getting away from Pharaoh. It wasn't so much where they were going, it's what they were leaving behind.
You know what? They were delivered.
Yeah.
They were out of bondage. Mm-hmm. But.
But that was where you get the expression of crass is always screaming.
We'll see.
Once they got out.
This helps us to realize what's going on. You know what they had? It helps us to realize what we have today. They had salvation. But what they didn't get to,
the sanctification,
was this. He says, I brought you out
to bring you in
unto myself. The glorification for them would be to bring you in. He told, when they came out, we don't get too sidetracked. When they came out, he said, you're going to be a kingdom of what?
Kingdom priest.
That means they were coming out to do what?
Worship and serve.
There you go, sir. To worship and serve who?
God.
The only problem is they didn't have the capacity to do it. Why didn't they?
Because they were of Adam's flesh.
Something had to be done. The grace of God had to send his son to taste death for every man. When I say taste death, he had to experience those. He had to eliminate all those obstacles that's keeping man from walking and worshiping and serving the Father. So he does that, and Paul said this, you know. Well, he's writing to the Corinthians, and we still don't know this. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he who was what? Rich became poor for our sakes.
Through his poverty.
That we, through his poverty, what?
Might become rich.
Now, he's not talking about money. he's talking about in spirit.
Capacity.
All right, right. In grace. Watch now, Paul, where are we at? We get to it now. Paul said this for us. He says in Ephesians 3. Now we skipping all over Israel's program. You know how much we miss, right? Because they never did take advantage of the grace of God that was offered to them.
Which is why Paul says all that aforetime was written for our learning, that through patience and
comfort
of the scriptures we might have hope, not going through the actual things that they did, but that we can learn from where they messed up and
you can see
God provide.
How he always has.
Yeah.
So you look back and that's why when Paul as Saul, he's leading in the opposition. He's leading in the opposition against grace. And then the Lord says, Saul, it's hard for you to keep doing this. And he said, who art thou, Lord? He says, I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. And he automatically makes the connection. And he says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And he says, keep going. And he said to Ananias that man is my what?
Chosen
vessel. Did Paul know that when he was headed to Damascus?
No way.
Did he have an idea?
No.
You sure?
No.
Paul said in Galatians, he says that this message is not from man. Neither was it by man, nor was it given by man. I got it by the what?
Revelation of Jesus Christ.
He told me. And he said this. He said, I excelled in the Jews' religion. Now, think about this. He excelled in the Jews' religion. That is, everything that God wanted them to be and everything that God provided by his grace for them to be, they were going just as hard against it.
They were pushing for the law. And
they were pushing for the performance. He's pushing for the provision. They're pushing for the performance.
Because they sought it not by faith.
Because faith would have said, I can't do this. I can't do it. I need some help. He said, exactly. And they said, that's him. You could be justified from all things that the law of Moses couldn't do through this man. Wait a minute. This is after the resurrection. The law says, the law says, try to be the image. And then when Christ dies, he says, you could be justified by all things that the law couldn't do. Now, the law says, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul. Him only shall thou serve. No covetousness, which is idolatry. Don't steal, don't lie. All the ten. And if you add that up, you're like, that's wrong. He missed that one. He missed that one. He missed that one. He missed that one. And when you add it up, but he said, but this man, through this man, you could be justified from all these that you couldn't do. So through this man, he says, he got that. He's got that one. He's got that. For this, through the law, through the law, you get an F minus. Is that possible? Through Christ, you get an A plus. That's what Paul said. That's because that's the grace of God. Without you. He said this provision has been made for you. Because I'm in my goodness. I'm giving you the opportunity to work with me again. So you, Paul said this. I didn't deserve it. 1 Timothy 1, he says that I was injurious. I was a persecutor. I was a blasphemer. He said, but 1 Timothy 1.
He was a pattern of all of us.
1:12. He says, right, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a what?
Blasphemer.
A glorifier.
Blasphemer.
A persecutor.
Totally disqualified from what the Lord said on here.
He said, right, I was a blasphemer, I was a persecutor. Right?
Injurious.
And injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the
grace.
And the what?
Grace.
Grace of our Lord was what?
Exceeding abundant.
Exceeding abundant.
With faith and love.
With faith and love, which is what?
In Christ Jesus.
With faith and love, which is in what? Which is in Christ. Now, watch, look at that carefully. He says that the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with what? Faith and love, which is in what? The reason why God was able, the reason why God is able to take a man like Paul or like Mike or like me.
Or especially me.
Especially you. Okay. Is because it's something in him, his, we say, faithfulness and dedication. Because of his faithfulness and dedication, God is able to give that grace to others. That goes back to Hebrews. Is when he fulfills everything that God requires. And he says to the Son, that's why he said this, it's Christ that sitteth at the right hand of God, doing what? Making intercession for us. If anybody comes to, you know what, I don't know how he got that position. And he says, I picked him. What can you say? Too bad. Who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. And he said this, he shall be able to stand because God shall make him stand. It's because of his accomplishments. And Paul said this, he says in verse, back to Timothy, he said this, this is a 1:14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is the faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long suffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him. Believe on him
to life everlasting.
To life everlasting. Yeah, I'm sorry, I lost my to life everlasting. Yes, so we see what Paul. That's what he received. In Ephesians 3, Paul said this: if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given
me
to you. He said the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me
to you.
Who is the you?
Us.
To those who believe.
Key word right there. Us. Before, you know what it was given to? Before, you know who God's grace was given to?
Israel.
Before Paul, his grace was given to
Jesus.
It was, well,
I'm not sure where you're going with this. So.
I'm going there.
Okay.
It was given to men. Individuals, that is.
Okay.
And then, even when it spread out, it went to certain groups, the Jews. You see how it starts off narrow? You got Adam, Noah, Moses, David, Solomon, just individuals. Then it goes out to the Jews because his purpose and grace is what? It's the kingdom. Sorry, it's the kingdom. It's on earth. And then Paul said this. He says, now, but if you heard of this grace that's given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known unto me a different kind of grace that they didn't know about.
The manifold.
He said that this grace, he said in Galatians, he says that when God called him by his grace, he called Paul, he said he called him by his grace. He called him by his grace. What is his grace? God's own purpose, his own counsel that picks a man just to serve him, just to worship and serve him. For what reason? Why would God pick a man to worship and serve him? Why would God pick a man, educate that man? Empower that man, enlighten that man to worship and serve him, and then reward that man.
He's putting forth a similitude.
For no reason. Why would he do that?
Not for nothing.
Well, it's what reason is it?
His purpose and plan.
Yeah. And that's what you see. And Paul said this, when God, he called me by his grace. And he said this. He called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. He said, I know I didn't deserve this. He said, matter of fact, I didn't even know who his son was. I didn't know that God and his son was what?
One.
Was one. But he picked me to reveal his son in me. He said, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. That's us, by the way. Now he says, if you heard of the dispensation, Ephesians 3. If you've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the what? Gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this what? Verse 8, that this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Remember we first started and we said, what is grace? And somebody said, unsearchable riches or God's riches at Christ's expense. Right. Now, we covered a lot of ground. But,
what did you say?
I said we're covering a lot of ground.
Oh, okay.
But you think about this. This was a time when God didn't even think of Gentiles. Well, when he did, he thought of them
dogs.
As dogs.
He's been given up.
They've been given up. Right.
Before Abraham.
He'd been given up to the vanity
of their
own mind. And then he comes along and somebody says, yeah, you know what? We was coming on yesterday and this It's a, they, you know, see people out there with the sign, they're holding the sign up.
From right here.
Yeah, we, you know, homeless, we'll work for food, they, you know, whatever the sign says. Now you take a person like that, we just consider them the offscouring of society.
Yeah.
Would it be true, safe to say?
Yeah, because most of them are scamming anyway, so you don't have who's a little needy person.
Well, let's say legitimate. Let's say it's legitimate.
They're all legitimate.
But you say you take a man like that. You see him, and much like that announcer. The announcer, they found the guy on the corner, and they take the guy. Next thing you know, he's all cleaned up, and he's given a six-figure job. He goes from one day standing on the corner, the next day he's in a high-rise apartment ordering room service. Now, he had an ability to speak. He had a good speaking voice. But we're talking about a person that has nothing to offer until we trust Christ. And then when the Spirit comes in, he says, now, you can do what I want now. Ephesians 2. He said this, and you, 2:1, have he quickened, who were what? Dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By what?
Grace.
By grace. Excuse me. Are you saved? And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his what?
Grace.
In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Again, for by what?
Grace.
Are you saved?
Grace.
Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Which God hath
ordained
that we should what? Now, you see the God's this grace, he says, he picked you when you were dead in sins and trespasses, walking according to the course of this world, in the flesh, your desires of the flesh, desires of the mind. But he says, but his grace, he saved us through his grace. And his kindness, he said, the exceeding riches of his grace. For a reason. He said that he might show that in the ages to come, what? The exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness through Christ Jesus. He made us his what? Workmanship. Created what? In Christ Jesus unto good works. Now we talk about having access into this grace where Paul said this is for everybody. For everybody. Right. Especially you Gentiles. He says, I don't have a stockpile now that I'm pulling from, just a choice material. He says, I'm coming over here to the scrap heap. And I'll pick you out and I'm going to make something. That's what he said, his workmanship. And I'm going to use that. like a precision tool. He said, I'm going to do something with that. Now you think about it, you and I have the opportunity today by his grace to be able to, Paul said this in Corinthians, I beseech you, he says, to receive not the grace of God in vain. He said, Paul said, we then as workers together with God beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. You know, today, there's like no other day.
So when he's saying that, he's talking about the equipping. Don't be equipped only to let it sit and dry.
This is a time where, like no other. Where you talking about being able to work with God today and all the blessings that God is able to give us freely, no condition. Freely, no condition. It's total acceptance with God, total access, total security. He indwells us. None of them can say that. And he says, and I'm not leaving. And he says, now, if you want to be a participant in this grace, you can receive it by faith. But to participate, that's another thing. That's up to you. He said, do you want to participate in it, in this grace? Just because you have access doesn't mean you're going to what?
Use it or accept it.
You use it or accept it. And he says, now this is up to you. You can go home, sit down. Or we can walk together. And he said, well, what if I want to sit down? He said, well, I'm not mad. Just losing out. It's like, really? He's like, no, I'm not mad. See, that's what will make you get up. When you realize that if you sit down, he says, I'm not mad. We have peace with God.
I still love you. I'm just going to use somebody else.
He says, you don't. It's okay. But we don't. This is what we don't. I think Mike was talking about this last week. What we don't think about is
the reward of the inheritance.
We don't think about that. So anyway, we're going to stop there. This I may just come back and touch on a few things, but to wrap that up, because I know we covered a lot of ground getting through there, and then nothing else. You guys might have some questions about that. I'm sure that something may come up, so we'll stop there, and let's close out with prayer. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We pray that these things would be impressed upon our hearts and minds, that we might study these things out, Lord, to get an understanding that you would have us as we continue to study the grace of God. And we just thank you again for this class and this time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Good lesson from you.